Welcome to Innovation in Your Ears. This series follows the founders and businesses on the Level Up Accelerator program. I'm Charlie.
I'm Olu, and today you're going to hear from Tom at Hire. You're going to hear all about their journey, their business, and what's next for them.
Hello, I'm Tom Burke, CEO and co-founder of Hire, and I am here for my psychology session.
So, Tom, tell us. I guess big question, but how have you got here? You
know, do it right back to the start.
Yeah,
I think it goes back like a really long way to when I was a kid, pretty much. Mm-hmm. My parents never really directed me too much to do one thing or another. I was always into art, and I used to like make cards and things for relatives when I was really young, and I started selling them, you know, 10p a card or something like that. So that's probably where it all started, just the kind of inspiration, I guess, that you...
Were you making a living off
those
cards to auntie and uncles?
I was making enough to get some penny sweets. So I guess when you're a kid, that is a living, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And were your parents supportive of that? Did they, obviously they gave you the freedom to do it, but did they encourage it and suggest things and help you learn more about that?
Yeah, so maybe not so supportive on the sweet side of things, but they always just let me kind of do what I wanted, and whether that was because better that way or because they had four kids and they just I was the middle one and they just couldn't be bothered anymore. Yeah. That may have been more along the lines, but yeah, they were supportive in as much as go out and figure out what you want to do. If you want to do art, which is kind of what I did early on, then go and do that. They both come from art backgrounds as well, so that probably helped.
So they were both in that space. They weren't from a business background or anything like that?
No. So my dad was, he was a head of art in a school in Colwyn Bay. And my mum was a house mother in like a prep school or a private school. Okay. So we kind of lived in this house which was full of teenage girls when I was like before I could fully appreciate that. So I was like 10 or something at the time. So yeah, that was her job, and he was head of art, and she was just always like painting and stuff like that. So that whole kind of creative side of things was always there.
That's really interesting. So at that time, so were you living in the school, was it? Like a boarding school?
Yeah, so it was a boarding school called St. Mary's, which has been knocked down since, not long after we left, actually. I don't know if that was the root cause of it. But it was, a girls' boarding house. And then later on, we lived in a boys' boarding house in Colwyn Bay, which was part of Rydal School.
Right.
A private school there. But I never went to private school. I just lived with all these private school kids.
What was that like?
It was really cool.
Has that had an impact on kind of who you are today, do you think?
Yeah. So I think like from that early intro to lots of different people from different cultures and different spectrums across life had quite a big impact on how open I was to that kind of thing, or just a realization that there's more to the world than what you see in your kind of local environment. Yeah.
Yeah. And how does that work then? You'd come home and from school, and hang out with the other kids that were there, or?
Yeah, so actually the best time was when they were all on holiday, and we'd go, me and my brother, sneak around in the dorms and look at the comics or whatever they'd left behind. I think I found some hip-hop music, you know, and that kind of got me into that.
Yeah, so you're discovering stuff at a young age.
Discovering stuff that I would not ordinarily have discovered if I'd just had, like, the same sort of upbringing that a lot of my mates were at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool. And then what were you like in school then as you progressed? I know you said you continued art.
Yeah.
What were you like in school? Was it? Did you enjoy it? I know we speak to a lot of entrepreneurs, and they're often the naughty kids or misunderstood kids, or they didn't enjoy school.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
Yeah, that was me. I'm a cliche when it comes to that. So like primary school, I was a really good boy, and then as soon as I got to secondary school, I went off the rails a little bit. Got in with a group of friends who, you know, we were more interested in going out and causing mayhem and things like that than schoolwork. So I was never really into school, didn't do any revision. had a problem with authority, I guess, as well. And just always thought that I didn't actually need a lot of the things they were teaching us in school.
Mm.
So that kind of realization early on, and that's panned out, basically. So yeah. I'm not saying don't go to school if you're listening to this, but it just wasn't for me, right?
Yeah, and then tell us a bit then about the business. Like when did it start?
Mm. So first business was like 2012, probably. Just started out as a freelancer. I was in a job at the time which allowed me to get most of the work done for them in half a day, which left me another half a day, and they allowed me to work from home up here back in North Wales. That company was based in Oxford. Sorry if you're listening to this.
Yeah, smart moves. So they were paying for you to explore those first business ideas.
That's right, yeah. So I had that kind of freedom of time to actually explore that. And then I also had this kind of like background of creativity and art and design, and also that sort of background of just wanting to go out and do something on my own. So I'd always wanted to do something. Initially, I thought I was going to be like a film director or something like that.
Okay.
Because I did animation in uni. Didn't pan out. And then when I was freelancing, it was mainly kind of like design work, websites, trying to get a little bit of animation off the ground. That was in 2012. By about 2017, I'd left that role. I was now kind of like in a good sort of steady place with that freelance work. Hadn't gone limited or anything like that. And managed to convince Anna, who co-founded Animated Technologies with me, to come on board. And we started Animated Technologies, I think, 2017. So there's kind of like a little bit of freelancing, slowly transitioning out of that work / freelance into an actual business, which was self-employed, transitioning out of that into like a limited company, learning about niching down, learning about, focusing your message. And
were you learning all that on the job? Did you have guidance, mentors? How are you learning all of this?
Yeah, so like the most important thing really is just learning from other people, I've found. So when we started out, we were kind of discussing between each other what we should be doing. For me, it was animation. For Anna, it was like design. And it was only when I reached out to a mentor that she started to kind of like make me realize more of these niching down and kind of clarifying your message and things like that when it comes to business. So that was down to advice. We went to Business Wales as well and got some advice there. And like ever since those transformative discussions, like transformative for the business and like even personality.
Yeah, wise. Get that little bit from those early days you're saying at the boarding schools, you were snooping around, but you were learning from what others were doing and observing and
yeah.
So I guess you've always had that inquisitive nature anyway.
Yeah.
Seems to be proving a valuable skill.
Yeah, I guess like meeting people from other countries who are older than you and got different life experiences and just.
And then how did Hire come about?
So with Animated Technologies, we used to go to conferences and events, and we'd look for work by chatting to people who were networking or, you know, presenting or whatever. And then the pandemic hit and all of that went out the window. So I started to think, because the work had gone with Animated Technologies, people weren't exhibiting in conferences, they didn't need those videos, something that we could do to make some money. And also, is there an issue out there that needs solving? And at that time, that was clearly an issue, because there were Zoom and Teams, video conferencing platforms, which are okay for like a meeting, for stuff like this, where there's 3-4 people, maybe in a minute to sort of 10 people. But in that situation, you're just in a room. The host is directing everything. Everyone else is kind of, excuse me, an observer. You don't get the chance to go off and speak to exhibitors. You don't get the chance to go off and network with other attendees, you know, like round the coffee pot. And those are actually the times when all the kind of cool ideas or good business gets done.
Yeah.
So Hire was an idea to give people that in this new world, which is hybrid now, I guess.
And this was all pre-COVID?
This was like as COVID hit, basically.
Right at the beginning, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like, get the sketchbook out and start coming up with ideas. I remember actually being up in the office just before lockdowns happened and having a whiteboard and kind of just talking to Anna and working out what sort of directions we could go in with animated technologies, how we could keep the work going in this like big period of uncertainty that was going on. And then outside of that, kind of just getting a sketchbook out and using that creative side again to come up with ideas for potential other line of business.
Yeah, I'm really keen to understand a bit more about that transition, because that's such a big challenge for anybody thinking of starting a business or in the process of starting. Is when do you make that transition to really commit and be...
Yeah, so I think like there's always a point in business where you have to like you either stay with the way it is, and that can be fine if you're happy with that. You know, it might just be one or two of you self-employed people do it all the time and they have like fantastic lives. But there's also a point where you're like, actually, we could get more work if we just bring someone else in. You know, what are we in it for? Do we want just like a nice life and a little bit of money, or do we want something else? Is there like some growth we can have here which is outside of those things? And I think if you've got that in you and you think like, outside of just normal life, money, whatever, what else can I actually achieve? Is it like adding to, I don't know, skills in the region, whatever? Then you might think like, well, if we want to grow, if we want to grow a team, employ 5-6 people, then we need to start just doing that. And I think like that's all you need really, is just that kind of realization or that want, that drive to do that. And as soon as you've got that, you've got no choice really but to kind of go down that path.
And was that in animated tech that you built the team, or was it in the new business hire?
Yeah. So it started in animated tech. I think there's like 7 people employed in animated tech now, so that's doing really well. But it was just me and Anna, and then we got someone in because there was too much work. Mm. And then that just kind of went from one thing to another. The more people you get in, the more work you can handle, the more work that comes in, the more people you need to cater for that. So it just grows kind of naturally then.
Yeah, okay. And then tell us a bit about the journey with Hire. Like, what's, you know, has it just exploded? Has it all gone to plan? Presumably there's been setbacks and challenges along the way. Talk us a bit about that journey.
It's been hell. Oh, you're joking.
You're still smiling.
It's been like a roller coaster, to be honest.
Yeah.
So initially it started out as this idea, and then we got a consortium of organisations together for this Innovate UK fund, which was out at the time. And the idea behind the fund was to come up with ideas which weren't sort of health related, but would help the UK economy. That part of it was cool. You know, we spent a lot of time, went through a lot of stress setting up the consortium, putting the application in, did the project, and then the project was finished, and we've kind of got this.
So that's given you a little bit of cash to get moving. And
yeah,
and
yeah,
a few people
yeah.
In, presumably.
That's it, yeah. So that first thing, getting a grant, was really helpful. And I think had the pandemic not been on, we wouldn't be having this chat now. Hire wouldn't be here. It might be something else. As soon as that was done, we got this version of Hire, which was really kind of like buggy and stuff like that. You call it a minimal viable product. And it wasn't enough to go out and sell, but it was enough to say to potential investors, look, we've got something here. We could develop it further if you give us money to get a team together. There's this new market out there. Obviously, you've got to do your research and figure out if there is actually a market. And then you've got to go and convince these investors, like, off the back of that. And that was interesting, difficult, challenging, but, like, a lot of fun at the same time.
Yeah.
And we're kind of at the stage now where we launched to sales towards the end of last year. Everything has taken longer than I expected.
I bet, yeah.
Nothing has really gone to plan. But there is, I guess I would look at it like, it's a rough path through a forest, and every now and again we just go off the path and come back onto it. But we could kind of see it, you know, can see where you're going.
And I guess you've got that support group around you now as well.
Yeah, that's really a good point, actually, because looking at it from no understanding of what goes on when you're growing a company like Hire, which I would consider a startup, I would consider Animated Tech more of like just a steadily growing service business, whereas Hire's like, we've got this product, we need the money to get it out there, and there's big market, huge potential, also kind of big risk as well. And I think that the people you meet along the way, you don't expect them to necessarily stick along for the ride or form those relationships, but actually, you know, we're all human, and a connection, a deeper relationship that's formed over that time.
Yeah, of course, they want their money back.
Yeah, of course. In the long run, they want their money back, so they need to like keep that relationship going. And it's interesting, you like the sort of, I don't know, the power dynamics of it all. Sometimes it's with you, sometimes it's with them. But I mean,
what excites them about Hire? Why have they come in, and what do they see as the long term, you know, potential vision?
Yeah. They just want to like cash out in 5 years with a few hundred mil, something like that. No, seriously, some of them come in it for purely kind of monetary reasons, and they'll look at the.
But they're still going to see it. They've got to see that there's a. You've obviously sold them.
Yeah.
A vision.
Yeah.
So they might want, you know, it's a financial investment, but to be confident that there's even a chance of that coming good, they must believe in the potential that Hire has, and the
Intrigued
as to what that, you know, maybe 5-10 years from now, what does that look like?
Yeah, well, one of the unexpected things with Hire is kind of the stuff we're developing around it. So it's like this hybrid events platform, and this new hybrid events world that we're in is forming itself at the moment. So during the pandemic, it was really obvious there was a couple of companies who had similar ideas and maybe were a little bit further along than us at the point where they went to reach out to investors, and they just like blew up. One of them was called Hopin, and people could see that there was this big market, right?
Yeah.
And it was definitely a big market during the pandemic. Since the pandemic, we're kind of seeing like a pendulum. So a lot of people went back to live events, and now they're finding that actually their customers want something that's in between. So they're like, well, I'm not going to travel to Japan for a 3-hour chat if I'm in London. There's no point. Can't you just do like an online version?
It's become okay to do that now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like a lot of the companies that we talk to now who run those types of events, they're like, yeah, well, the customers are telling us they want this, so we're going to run hybrid events. And that market is forming, and it's slightly different to what we thought it might have looked like. The investors are still excited about it because it's new ground, really, and Hire offers things that a lot of these other platforms don't. And I think actually because we weren't out as quick as some of them, that's to our benefit, because we just sat back a little bit and
you've taken those learnings.
Yeah, so we've seen some of the mistakes that have been made and been able to develop a product, a platform that caters for this new world.
What's an ideal client, if people are listening now and wondering, is Hire for me? Do I,
yeah,
you know, is there somebody I know that maybe I should put them in touch with Tom.
Yeah.
Who's the dream client?
So Hire works best when you're running a big event with multiple stages. You've got lots of sponsors. You've got lots of people out there who want to network and things like that. So a good example is we are running Wales Technology Week, which is a hybrid event. The client there would be Technology Connected, so you can look them up, and if you're a bit like that, then get in touch. But anyone who's, you know, running big events in conferences is the ideal client, because right now we're looking for bespoke customers, I would say. In the long term, we want to turn that into the sort of the Zoom event sizes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like
And What does that look like? Is that a certain number of events that these clients are running a year? Is it the number of people that attend events? Is it the number of locations?
Yeah, so the big ones probably like run between 1 and 6 events a year, but they'll be massive, right? And then the people who attend in them, maybe 2,000 live and a few thousand online. And then even other ones who can't make either that live event or the online event, but want to watch it afterwards. You know, you might get like 20,000 people tuning into that after that. That's what that looks like. And then the kind of the smaller events, which the guys here at MSpark run, they might be 20 people in a room and then another 20 people online. That's kind of where we see a lot of the long-term growth for the company.
Yeah.
But we need to figure out what the best sort of plan for that is. You know, what works for those companies? What are they kind of willing to pay? What will make them turn away from something like Zoom and go to hire?
Yeah, so you're still going through that process of discovery and building it around the customer's needs.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is you know, really good. It's much better than just sticking it out there. And
yeah. Yeah, so like that's another thing wasn't expected. We thought, well, stick the plans out there, people buy plans, and off you go. Then you actually find out, like, okay, people aren't buying those plans, and we look at the competitors, and they're not doing the plans anymore. So there's something going on here.
Okay.
So you start talking to the customer, and you start to figure out, like, actually, with this new world, with these kind of events that maybe they're only running, you know, one every quarter or something like that, it doesn't make sense to actually pay monthly.
Yeah, okay.
It would make more sense to give them the platform for free and then potentially charge them for how many attendees turn up, stuff like that. So we're starting to think like that around the pricing now. Initial kind of chats with customers and things, they're quite positive on that.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued. So it sounds like you're doing a great job of being obviously being in the detail and hands-on in the business, but also being able to step back and observe what's going on. And that's much easier said than done. Lots of things that need to be done, a lot of pressure. You've got investors involved, team members.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a burn rate and a cash runway to think about. How do you keep yourself in a good condition, you know, physically but mentally more?
It's very kind of you to say I'm in a good physical condition, Ollie. I'm not. Yeah, I think you need coping mechanisms. So if you don't figure out ways to de-stress and stuff like that, it will all come crashing down pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's a mad journey
yeah.
To be a business owner. So yeah. So what is that for you? What are those coping mechanisms?
I like work them into my daily routine. So walk the dog. As I'm walking the dog, I'll maybe stop and do some stretches. It must look really weird if you're also walking a dog. You see this guy stretching.
Have you been reported yet?
Not that I know of, no. But as I'm doing those stretches, I'll like say in my head what I'm grateful for. So, you know, it might be I'm grateful for my son or whatever. And then I'll like go through some other stretches and I'll say, what am I intended to do today? And like half the time I don't end up actually doing that. But it's just setting up little routines like that. So physically I'm out for a walk, right? I'm doing some stretches, so I'm keeping myself supple. I'm doing these like mental things, so I'm grateful. And it just helps kind of level me out without saying, right, I've got to do half an hour of meditation or whatever.
And is this every morning you're doing this or?
Yeah, every day. Yeah, every day. Like I do stuff like that. And I've got this little routine which just helps keep me on a level playing field.
I think it's really important because it's so easy as an entrepreneur to just, you know, the second you wake up, even lying in bed, everything, your mind's just on.
Yeah.
And there's a to-do list. There's
you know,
there's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's always more to be done.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think it's really important to have these kind of routines and to find a way to make sure that you always go through it and you ground yourself and you
think
what else is important in life beyond the business.
Exactly, because like business is great and everything, but you have to look after yourself first and then look after those closest to you and then look after the business.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still don't know how to deal with like waking up at 3 or 4 a.m. and just having absolutely random thoughts and thinking about stuff you can't do anything about at that time, right?
Are you noting them down? Are they good thoughts? Or
they've mostly looked really stupid. So they don't have much to do with the business or life, but it might be like, oh, you know, why is the couch this format or something really random? And then obviously there will be times like if you're going through stress in your life where that 3 a.m. little voice in your head is talking about that particular stressor.
Yeah, of course.
There's absolutely nothing you can do about it and you can't like work yourself down too well.
That's where those coping mechanisms come in, right?
It's
going to happen from time to time, so you need to have those mechanisms to...
As long as that side of it doesn't take over, right? So it's just keeping that kind of level, I guess.
Yeah. What do your parents think you do?
That's a good question. I don't know, to be honest. I think like my mum is just so laid back that she's just, oh, he must be doing something good. It's not really like a thing. She's never said anything like that. And then my dad, I think he thinks I'm like some kind of Donald Trump or something like that.
I think you're loaded with a huge business already, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh.
And a massive team to deal with all the...
Flying around in a private jet, yeah. That's not the case.
Tom, tell us, what would you... You know, is there something you would do differently if you could go back and change one or two things?
Someone else asked me that. I think it was in like an application for some awards thing we were entering. And I honestly, it's going to sound really cheesy and cliched, but I wouldn't go back and change anything because I sort of see it as like, that's actually what's made me what I am now.
Yeah, okay.
So rather than going back and changing that, I'll do it differently the next time I do it.
And you talked, rather than looking back then, if you look forwards, obviously you've had that entrepreneurial spirit from a young age. You know, you set up or co-founded Animated Technologies. You're now running Hire. What's the next business?
Well, let's get Hire sorted because...
I'm sure there's things in the back of your mind. If I could give you the funds today to go and set something up, what would it be?
I actually got pretty close to setting this other one up a couple of years ago. So this was before the pandemic, and it was for an idea which would utilize AI before AI became super popular and trendy like it is now, to actually create user interfaces for designers or animators, 3D modelers. Because this, I don't know if I should be saying this, like someone's going to go pick this idea up and run away with it.
Well...
But you're welcome to it if you do. Anyway, yeah, it was about creating
an
interface.
Maybe you could mentor that person.
Yeah, get in touch or give me a share or whatever. Yeah, I'd like an idea that would use AI to help create an interface that was specific to that particular person.
An interface for what?
It was, at that time, for like art programs, 3D design, stuff like that. Because, you know, you can... get into animation like I did, and then you'll find that there's about 20 different programs. All do roughly the same thing, all have very different user interfaces, shortcut keys, things like that.
Yeah, okay.
Then in the industry itself, if you're working as an animator, you're often like going from one job to another. It's like kind of a transient sort of work life, I suppose. And as you move from one team to another, you'll find they use a completely different set of tools. And those tools, again, do exactly the same thing, but have very different interfaces. And it takes a while to sort of learn those new tools. It's almost like learning a new dialect or something.
Tom, what does the year ahead hold for Hire? What's the big focus for you in the business this year?
Yeah. So for the business, we really want to like smash the sales now. So that's our huge focus at the moment. Generate lots of sales, prove out the product, and also get more investment.
Okay.
So we're looking for investment at the moment to help us figure out, get people in, the sales and kind of marketing.
Sort of refining that model.
Like yeah, refining the model, yeah. Yeah. And like just being able to have the resources to like put into it to actually reach people.
Yeah, and I guess it's a big market, so
yeah,
like you said, there are competitors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So like we can have the best product in the world, which we do, obviously. But if we can't show that to people, then we can't sell it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sounds really, really, really challenging, but also really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, tell us and all listeners, tell us something we don't.
I think you know that, Ollie.
I do know that. I've had the pleasure of having a cold sea swim with you as well.
Yeah, that's right. And do you know what?
Very brief.
That was almost a year ago today.
Oh, wow, was it?
Yeah, yeah. We went to Nant Gwrtheyrn, didn't we, on the Clyn Peninsula.
Yeah, well, I've obviously been doing it every morning since.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that would be the thing that most people don't know, I guess. But
How long did it take?
It was a 13-hour swim, and you're not allowed to wear anything apart from like a pair of budgie smugglers and some goggles and a little silicone cap.
Nice look.
Yeah, it's not really on me, unfortunately. And you're not allowed to touch the boat, okay? So you have to like tread water when it's time to get.
I've seen that. They kind of like throw food in a bag. Is that,
yeah, just
is
like,
that how it works?
Like you're a fish, they just throw food at you. It was on a bottle with like carbo drink in it on a string. And
okay, yeah.
Anna was on the boat at the time. She was dangling it down. I was like necking this while I was treading water and then off swimming again. And you like have to do that really quick so you can't hang about. Otherwise you get cold or the tide starts taking you somewhere else.
Just too, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And how often do you stop to, if you're consuming that really quickly, do you just have to have small volumes but constantly so that it actually digests or?
Yeah, so like you use so much energy just keeping yourself warm that your body needs constant food. Mm. And then you use an awful lot of energy swimming as well. Yeah, so you're burning just thousands of calories, right? So you need to
just
put that back in.
Constant
yeah,
eating, yeah.
Constant every half an hour, you have one of these bottles, maybe 500 mils or something. Neck it, carry on swimming. Every half an hour, yeah.
And what happened when you get there?
Well, when I got there, it was quite funny, really, because Anna jumped in to do the last bit of the swim.
Okay.
Because you can't really swim that well. And it's quite a strong tide on the French coast. So it was almost like a disaster, really, in that Anna got swept out. So my mate who was on the boat jumped
in. Did she have to get picked up?
No, he jumped in and he helped her to the shore.
Okay, yeah.
Because I was just like concentrating on getting onto this big boulder. It wasn't a nice beach or anything like that. It was just these big rough boulders.
And you just, is that kind of random where you turn up based on the currents and the nearest beach, or is it pre-planned?
Yeah, so the skipper of the little boat that follows along with you, he kind of does his best to aim for somewhere on the coast.
Yeah.
And he just sort of slowly guides you along. So you keep your eye on that boat and you trust that boat. It knows where it's going. And eventually, depending on what happens with the tides, because in the channel it's like this sort of, it's more like a river, so it'll flow one way and then it'll flow the other way. You do like an S shape as you're swimming across.
Ah, so it kind of evens out, is the theory, is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so if you can do this S shape and the end of the S lands on this little point in France called Cap Grenet, excuse my pronunciation, then that's like considered a really good sort of landing spot. But depending.
What happens? You land, have a picture and things, feast, you stay the night, what?
You land, you get back on the boat, you have serious stomach problems because you've just been drinking carbohydrates for 13 hours. Get back, you're absolutely shattered. I think I had,
so you just head straight back?
Yeah, like literally, yeah, yeah, you can't stay in France because it's against the law.
No passport control.
No passport, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So like you're actually, I don't know if you're an illegal immigrant at that point. You can't hang around. So yeah, you get like a few minutes just to take some photos, jump back on the boat.
And out of there.
Out of there, yeah. Boat takes you like 3 hours back, something like that.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What's next then in terms of sort of swims like that or challenges?
I'm just enjoying like the business now. So that's the main challenge, the main focus. I do a bit of climbing, little routine of going for a run every Thursday. I'll go for a run today. do a bike ride on a Tuesday. Just simple things. Like, I think if I get to a point where the business is running really well and it's comfortable, like past those challenging bits, I might look at doing another challenge at that point.
Have you got any idea what that might be?
If I say it, it might happen.
let's get it out.
Come on. This is what happened with the original channel swim. As soon as I vocalised it, I had to do it.
Vocalise it.
There's like a swim between Scotland and Ireland, which I quite like the look of.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, there we are, guys. Tom's just committed to swimming Scotland to Ireland.
First, yeah.
by the end of 2023.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Tom, it's been really interesting chatting to you and hearing a bit more about the story, but I guess behind the business as well. And I'm keen to just ask a few questions before we wrap up around.
Sure.
I guess for those listening and people starting businesses, I guess the first one I always ask people is, what do you think the most important traits or strengths are for somebody that's thinking about becoming an entrepreneur and running a business?
Probably the most important thing is just having like a passion for what you're actually doing, and then everything else can come from that. So if you really, really love doing something, just try it. And if you love it that much, the determination will follow, right?
Yeah, I like it. What book, movie, podcast, or maybe there's more than one, but which would you recommend to those same people to listen to?
I've only just started listening to podcasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about books and maybe movies even?
Yeah. I don't know, like The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. Old cowboy film. Don't know if that helps business at all. I tell you what though, I'm listening to Smartless. I don't know if you've heard that.
I've not heard that.
Yeah, it's just like, it's an interesting, funny podcast. It's got the guy out of Ozark in and a couple of other guys. Will and Grace, one of those ones is in it. But they just chat to like everyone from Neil deGrasse Tyson to Will Ferrell and all these kind of interesting people.
So you're just learning, again, that same thread that started from the beginning.
Yeah, learning and having fun while you're doing it, I think is a good one.
Yeah, okay. What's the one question you wish I'd asked you?
How was your breakfast?
And how would you have answered it?
I haven't had any.
Oh, no. Tom, look, it's been great. Where can people listening find you, find the business, learn a bit more? What's the best way to get in touch?
If you want to check out Hire, go to hire.live. You can get a free account, set up your own event on there. If you want to check me out, go to LinkedIn, look for Tom Burke. More than happy to connect and chat.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember to follow us on all our social media and the businesses featured in this episode.